Welcome to the Chief of Anything podcast, in this four-tone, vier-klang format with Catherine Wutz and Dominik Klimek. Our vier-klang format talks about the interplay of purpose, vision, values and strategies, and about what happens to companies when we bring these four together. Here, I hear firsthand how the vier-klang strategy has transformed companies and what I can expect from its implementation.
Hey, Dominik, how are you doing today?
Hey, Catherine, I'm feeling very relaxed today. How are you doing today?
Relaxed sounds good. I am excited. So between the two of us, we've got all the important emotions to make a podcast worthwhile for the listeners. I am super excited today. We've got Khalifa Al-Haroun with us today. He is known for I Love Qatar. Some people might know him as Mr. Q on Instagram. Khalifa, it's great to have you here. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good. You know, I was just saying earlier, you know, that it's finally, you know, raining in this part of the world. And so one of the special things is that when it does rain, it means that we get one of the rarest flowers in the world that blooms in the desert for just a day. So it's good luck.
Fantastic. We'll take all the good luck that we can have. Absolutely. So, Khalifa, you know, here in the podcast, obviously, we talk about the vier-klang. We talk about the combination of purpose, vision, values, and strategies. And I know you've known this model for quite a while. Would you like to tell us maybe what was kind of like your first touch points with this model and how has that impacted your experience at work?
So it's interesting because I used to apply a lot of this model into my daily life and within my business without realizing that there was something of a framework, you know, or a model to follow. And the business that, you know, that I had created a long back was now actually, as of 2 days ago, is our 15-year anniversary, was called I Love Qatar. And I Love Qatar started off as a website, and then it became a network. And it's now the country's biggest digital media network. And for me, it was always about how do you do something that will really impact every single touch point, right? And when we talk about, you know, social entrepreneurship, you know, people usually think about, okay, how am I going to change the world? And that's fantastic. But I think people always, they're looking at things at a grand scale and then they forget about the micro scale. They forget about the people that are closest to them, you know, whether it's your staff, not just the customers that you're working with, or the family that are going to be supporting you, that, or even actually your team members that end up becoming a part of your family. And so for me, it was always about, you know, how do I make sure that I leave behind a positive impact, you know, in every single thing that I do. And it was at the time we were just getting started that I Love Qatar was starting to grow. It was starting to become, you know, quite a popular channel. And the way that we operate is that obviously we make money off of the advertisements that you see on the website. So, you know, the more impressions, the more revenue we generate. But what actually helped us the most was that we were supporting charitable causes and different communities that usually couldn't qualify, let's say, you know, for charity or to convince big giant corporations to support them. And so by helping them, they saw that, wow, there's a platform that's actually helping us. They came more to the platform. Word started to spread. We started to get more viewers. We started to make more money. We were able to support more communities. And so it was just a beautiful circle, you know, that we had, or a spiral that we had created. And it was at the time that Vodafone came into my life. I was actually working for a bank at the time. And they were interested actually in investing, potentially, you know, buying out I Love Qatar. And this was in the very beginning. And as I got to know the members of the team, they said to me, hey, would you like to join Vodafone? And I said, doing what? And they said to me very simply, well, we need somebody to work on our online team. I said, well, I don't really have professional experience in that sense. And they said to me, doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing for I Love Qatar, just come do it for us too. And honestly, it was quite special because in my culture, it's still about, you know, the degree. It's still about, you know, getting a government-related job, you know. And so for me, I was like, wow, they want to take a risk on me. I want to take a risk on them. And it was at that moment or at that time where I got to meet amazing people like Graham Maher, like Michael Ports. And I don't want him to, his ego, if he's listening even to the podcast, to feel like, hey, you know. But they were really amazing individuals, you know, that introduced me to what as Vodafone was called, you know, the purpose-based organization, that model. And I realized, wow, I'm applying a little bit of it. And they took me to the next level.
Well, how was that for you coming from this very traditional background, working in a bank, which is very like conservative to then, okay, we don't even care about your degree. We just see what you're doing is working. It's good. We want to take a chance on you. And how was that experience for you?
Well, it was, I think that I apply what I've learned from Vodafone and everything that I do, you know, till today. And I don't want to say, oh, Vodafone to take the credit, because it's not Vodafone. It's the individuals, it's the people, you know, that were there at the time that had really passed on a lot of knowledge. And amazing individuals. They chose the best of the best from all around the world, put them in one place, and they said, go and do your thing. So how did it feel? Well, working in a bank, which was quite traditional, I remember the first time that I was invited to become the secretary of the board, you know, for, at the time it was an investment arm of the bank. And I walked inside, very first time, I've never met the CEO before. And he just glanced at me for a second and then glanced at my manager and said, who's that? And I really felt offended, you know, like I'm standing in front of you, you can ask who I am. But I felt like, why is there an ego involved in all of this? I'm here to learn, I'm here to serve. Compared to Graham, for example, he would wake up every single morning, pass by everybody's desk and say good morning. To me, I know maybe in your culture is like it's normal for like big organizations to do that, but for us, it wasn't normal. And I just remember feeling like, wow, like he's taking the time to say hello to me. And then the second thing, I think this was a moment, you know, that really helped to change my perception of the way that you should operate with people was one time the team had decided to do a... it was like a party. I mean, Vodafone, the team that were there, they just love to socialize. And it helps create, you know, a really tight-knit community. And so I was invited, you know, to, I think it was Graham's house. And I was the new guy. I was a new kid. And I was felt a little bit shy. I didn't know what to do. And so I felt like I was a little bit out of my element. So let me just go outside, get some fresh air. So I went outside and I sat on a step. And Graham leaves the party and comes and sits next to me. And I was like, oh, wow, CEO is sitting next to me and just had a conversation. And at the time, you know, he was talking about how the message, the key message, you know, for Vodafone was how to make a world of difference for all the people in Qatar. And I was a little bit skeptical. Like, is this just a message? Like, is this something that we're just saying to the public so that they can buy into, you know, what we're trying to sell? And I turned to him and said, I just want to ask you a quick question. He said, yeah, anything. So I said to him, why do you really care about Qatar? He said, well, I'll answer that question, but why are you doing what you're doing with your media company? I love Qatar. And I said, well, because it's my country. I love it. And I want to make people proud of me. And he said to me, well, it's a little bit simple. It's similar. He said to me, it's not my country, but I want to make a difference here too. And I want people to be proud of what we can do. And he seemed genuine in what he was saying. And I was like, okay, this is where I need to work. This is where I need to be. So it felt very different. Like it wasn't something that I was accustomed to. And I don't think most people were accustomed to.
We've had quite a few people on the podcast who were part of either the executive team back then or even related to Graham. And kind of like what just happened when you spoke kind of like happened to me every time they spoke about him. I just got it. Goosebumps as you were telling this, right? So there is somebody who's very authentic, who's very clear on what they want to achieve, who's very clear on the purpose they want to serve, you know, make a world of difference for the people in Qatar. That's quite a statement to bring across. And it seems like he's been able to touch so many people and motivate so many people along his journey, right? That he was able to do things that were thought to be impossible back then at that time, right? So my question would be, how do you do that with, you know, the many ventures you've created since? How have you been able to apply this, you know, going forward or kind of like applying these tools? What have you made out of it?
So I think, first of all, I'm always very clear with the people that work with me as to what it is that I am trying to achieve. This is what I want to do. This is the end goal. But I don't tell them what to do. I tell them, this is where we're trying to go. I want you to figure out how we're going to get there your way. And sometimes it does create a little bit of chaos. I say like organized chaos. But the way that I like to think of it is like, it's a winding road. It's not a straight path. And while we're there, we're marching along and everybody's humming to their own song. And it's okay because we're all going in the same direction. So someone that's far away, they might feel like, hey, what's going on here? I can't understand what's happening. And that's okay. And actually, I think that's what gives you an advantage compared to other businesses when then your competitors and people are trying to do something similar don't know or don't understand how it is you're doing what you're doing, but it's working. That's an advantage. The second thing is one of the things that I ended up applying is I one time went and bought everyone some digital picture frames, and I gave my team these frames, and I said to them, listen, I would like you to put three photos of things that motivate you to wake up in the morning and to work at this job. And so a few of them, you know, were skeptical and so on. And I said, listen, I have to tell you something. Please don't take it wrong, but it's not an option. You have to do it. And if you don't do it, then you're going to need to find somewhere else because I need you to buy into this. And so everybody was like, okay, we got you. We're going to do this. And one day I was sitting at my desk and I remember seeing one of the employees just looking off into the distance. And I thought, I'm not paying this guy just to sit there. What's he doing? So I got up and I wanted to go and see what he was doing. And he was actually staring at his picture frame. So I said, do you mind? May I take a look? And he said, yeah, sure. So the first photo that he had was one of those sock photos. You know, those photos, actually it was of a BMW. And so it was, you know, those families sitting in a convertible BMW, just so happy, ha-ha, you know? And I asked him, oh, so is that a BMW that you want to get one day? And this is what blew my mind. He said to me, no, I just want to have a family that looks as happy as these people. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I'm the materialistic one here, right? I'm trying to inspire them. And then they're the ones who are coming up with these really moving things. The second photo was also another stock photograph. And it was one of those photographs of like a parchment. And he said to me, that's the degree that I hope to have one day. Because I don't hire based on education at all. I really don't care about that at all. And the reason why is because I remember being taken into a meeting room one time. And they had written on the board, TEV, Talent Experience Values. And it was lowercase T and it was uppercase EV. And he said to me, it's because, uppercase T, lowercase E, uppercase V. And he said, E is s'mores because, yeah, experience matters, but not as much as your talent and your values, you know? And so the third photo that he had was a picture of his mom. And he said to me, that's the only person that I want to make proud of everything that I'm doing. And so it really showed me that, you know, while it's important for the team to understand what my vision is, it's equally as important for the team to understand what their own reason for being there is as well. And that's something, you know, that I also, you know, learned from Graham. I learned that from Michael. I also learned it from a lovely woman named Cindy Musa, one of the most compassionate people I've ever met, you know, in my life. One example of something that she would do is whenever I needed to have a conversation with her, no matter how busy she was. I started off as a manager, and then I moved my way up to become, you know, one of the heads. And then I started working on value-added services. And I'll tell you a really interesting story about how I ended up creating my own department within Vodafone just because they let me. So when I would walk into her office, no matter what she was doing, she would put the phone down, and she would literally, and I feel like that visual stimulus also meant she would always close the screen of her laptop. Even if she wasn't using her laptop, she would just close the laptop. I remember one time just really feeling very emotional. I was going through a really tough time and she was stressed out too. And she just put everything down. She closed the thing. And I actually started to tear up. I'm an emotional person. I started to tear up a little bit. She started to tear up too. So I felt like, wow, she's really empathizing with what I'm going through. And she asked me, you know, what do I need so that I can feel better and so that I can do better? And that's just another one of those examples of how the environment that you create shapes and molds, you know, the people of the future, you know. I can keep going, but I don't want it to just be my voice for the people listening. It is the podcast.
So I'm still processing that. That was quite a wonderful story to listen to. So, you know, if we take that, so you've said earlier, right, a few things kind of like have stuck out for me. It's like, get the people, you know, get the right people on board and then let them do their thing. So don't put any boundaries on them. Don't tell them how they have to do their job. Trust them to find the right way that's going to get you all where, you know, where we want to get to. And then also make sure you make an impact on every person. Is that kind of like the way you approach not just your private life, but also your business, kind of like touching, you know, all the little dots along the way to make the big, great thing happen?
Yeah, so I don't separate my private life and my work life. I know some people will tell you, no, you got to keep, you know, a pure line. But for me, my life is my life. It's just one big giant blob that intermingles. The way that I act, you know, with my friends, I hope the same way that I act with my staff is the same way I act with my family. And so, like, I really hope that, you know, what people see, the Mr. Q that they see in the public space is also the same Mr. Q that's in the private space too. So I do think, you know, that we managed to apply everything, you know, to all of those touch points, you know, in the right way. Of course, I do make mistakes. I still make mistakes. And, you know, one of the things that we learn is that it's totally okay. But I'm constantly, you know, on the path, you know, for of learning. An example, like I learned from my baby sister, you know. Remember one time when I was just 14 years old, I was laying down watching, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and my little baby sister walks up to me. She gives me a glass of water and she says to me, "Now, here you go." I said, I didn't ask for it. She said, "Yeah, but you look thirsty." I said, "How do I look thirsty? I'm just watching TV." And she said to me, "I don't know, but it's nice to be nice." And it's one of those things that I always learned, you know, and I've kept it in my heart. You don't need a reason to do something nice for others because it's nice to be nice. I remember my father, you know, one time telling me, he said, "Khalifa, when you go into a business meeting, what's the purpose?" And I thought it was a trick question. He said to me, you know, to get the best deal possible. He said to me, "Wrong." And I said to him, to make sure that we finish on time. He said, "Wrong." He said to me, "The only goal of going to a business meeting is to walk out with a new friend. Forget about the business. Business will come." And so I always try to make sure that I create long-standing friendships, you know, with people, because, you know, making money is the easy part. You know, it's, you know, if you walked up to an individual on the street and you said to him, "Hey, can I borrow, you know, can I borrow a dollar?" They'll tell you, "Yeah, sure, here you go." But walk up to someone and say, "Hey, can I borrow your heart for a second?" They'll look at you like you're crazy, right? But imagine if it's a different, if we flip that, right? Imagine if people love you and they care about you because you are a good individual, you can ask them for anything else. And they'll say, "No problem." And so that's why I feel like, you know, it's important, you know, to build those long-standing relationships, you know, with people. And to identify that everybody's got their own skill set. And there's no such, one of the things, you know, that I learned early on is that there's no such thing as a bad employee. They're just in the wrong place. And you just need to help them find their path and find where they need to go. When I left Vodafone and I joined the Qatar Stars League, one of the missions that they gave me as a chief commercial officer was, "Hey, we need you to fix the media and online department because there are serious issues here," to the point where I was even sort of like, "Listen, if you need to fire people, just get rid of them. You know, they're not working out." I sat down with those two individuals that had issues and I literally swapped their jobs. One was in media, one was a web developer. I just swapped them. And I'm telling you, the teams until today, you know, are functioning beautifully. They were just in the wrong place. And it was the same thing for me too. When I was in Vodafone, I needed to make sure that I found my path. And when they had given me value-added services, I was no longer the shining star because it was something completely new to me. And I was doing something that they asked me to do, but I really didn't have my heart in. And it was with time, you know, after I sat down with the team and I said to them, "Listen, I don't think that this is working out." They said to me, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, anything." They're like, "Anything." And this, I said, "Well, I would love to create a department related to innovative products." And they eventually made me the head of innovation. And they created an area for me where I could just come up with cool new ideas. And I had this philosophy where if you're going to do something that was going to be considered innovative, there are three nails that you have to hit on the head to be truly successful. You have to do something that's cool, that stands out, something that can save you money, save the business money in some shape or form, and something that can make you money. So sometimes people, they confuse the two, right? But it seems obvious saying it out loud. And so we created these really cool ideas such as, you know, digital storefronts, where the question that I had was, how could I open up a store anywhere in the world, on the surface of the moon or underwater, anywhere in the world? If I had 1 square meter, how could I open up a shop? And so we came up with these really cool virtual walls that had stickers and they had QR codes and they had like the products. They almost looked like shelves. So we could turn a bus stop into a shop if we wanted to. And people could simply scan the item and you could select either something would be delivered to your home or it would come to you wherever you are, or you can go and pick it up. And it did amazingly well because we ended up saving money because you didn't need to invest in the infrastructure. We ended up making money because we got new clients. And it was just really cool, you know, just being able to, this is obviously before the days of augmented reality and VR and that sort of stuff. But yeah, those were just some of the things that I managed to learn and apply with my team to make sure that people can just do the best that they can in the environment that satisfies them.
Fabulous. Yeah, absolutely. It sounds really cool, you know, what the outcome was. And you know, like you've said, if, you know, somebody doesn't work out in a position, it's not the right position. It's not the right place they are in that moment. It's not that the person doesn't want to, or, you know, isn't smart enough or whatever. Our environment determines so much with how much we can shine. Absolutely. So what's kind of like the big vision for yourself, for your life going forward?
Well, so the Isle of Qatar Media Network, thankfully, is at the point where I don't need to be as hands-on as I used to. So I love, just like the rest of the team, I love the startup phase. I like to build things. I really hate the monotony of the day-to-day activities. I like to think of new ideas. And so I build my platform, get into a point where it's healthy, and then I just allow the team to run it with my input or my support when they ask for it. So it's really hard. It's really hard to allow the team to just do their things and make their own mistakes. But it's the only way to get them to get to a point where they have the leadership skills to make the right decisions, or at least decisions that I would make, you know? Sometimes not even then. But I think now I'm focused on actually Store 974. So Store 974 has actually only been existing for 3 years. When it first, it's now the biggest electronics and gaming retailer in the nation. When I first got started, I was so excited. I was like, listen, I just want to make 100,000 the first year, and that's going to be my benchmark for success. I have a target. I know what I want to achieve. And that's also one of the things that Michael, you know, used to always say, you know, Michael always used to say, listen, it's important for us to figure out a target, even if it's easily achievable, just so that you could have that, you can feel that you've accomplished something, right? And so I said, okay, I want to hit 100,000. And in the first couple of months, we hit 100,000. I was like, wow, okay, I'm feeling pumped, I'm feeling excited. And then I would say when actual calendar year, we ended up making 1 million. And I was like, okay, this is great. And then the second year, we ended up making 28 million. And in the third year, we've hit 35 million. And now we're on the fourth year, and we're on the path, hopefully, to hit 50 million. So my plan is not only to just grow the business locally, but to become like the gaming Amazon of the Middle East. So that's where I want to be. I want to be able to create that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so inspiring. And from all the stories that I've heard, you were, in some reason, like lucky or had an education that you applied a lot of like the tools without knowing that these were tools, like from early on. And then you were successful using them. And then suddenly there was the Vodafone time where this was given like a framework, like the purpose-based organization or Vierklang, where like you could say, okay, this is how it's called, the TV model.
Yes.
All these things. And now you use that knowledge to build even more companies and become more successful. So if you would have imagined like somebody who wasn't or who doesn't know these models, but they are listening to this podcast and they are inspired and say, okay, I feel that I'm doing something wrong and they want to get on the right path. What would your advice be to those people to start creating success for entrepreneurs that are struggling with their business? What's the one thing you would recommend to them that they could implement right away?
Oh, wow. Just one thing. Just one thing. I would say the one thing that I would say that you start with is to understand why it is that you're doing what you're doing. Like, what is the problem that you feel that you're trying to solve? And it could be an emotional solution. It could be like, I often tell people, you know, you need to be able to understand what the problem you're solving and where you want to be, to where you would consider yourself, you know, successful. Some places, you know, sometimes somebody will tell you, oh, he's opened up a shop, but he's only got one branch. You know, that's okay. Maybe that's what makes that individual happy in life. Maybe that was the goal all along. Sometimes you'll see some restaurants or some cafes that will tell you that they've been existing since 1915, you know, and it's been 100 years. They're like, how come they're so great and they only have one shop? Because that was the goal. That was the objective. You know, that's what they wanted to achieve. So I'd say as long as you understand why it is that you're doing what you're doing, I think that would be the main first step. Because I think, again, a lot of individuals will tell you, I'm doing this so I can make money. You know, the money is the result. That's not the reason. And that's why I think it's important for individuals, you know, to sit back and understand if it'll give them satisfaction in life. You know, it'll be something, you know, that actually makes them and other people happy. So that's the one thing, I guess, that I would say people need to do to evaluate, you know, their lives. But it's not the only thing.
So how are you applying this one thing to your businesses? So the why, has your personal why, has it changed or is it different for each and every single company that you are involved in?
So I don't think that my why has changed, because my why has always been, how do I help people live better lives? You know, that's the question that I ask myself. That's the question that I ask myself. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I feel like I get more satisfaction feeling that I have made an impact in other individuals and paying it forward, maybe, you know, if that's the right expression. And so whether it's in the Latami TV, on Latami TV, we have a section, you know, called CAVE. CAVE means how. And I remember one time, and we explained how to use different devices. This was many, many years ago. Somebody had walked up to me and couldn't see, was blind, and said to me, thanks to your content, you've explained to me how to unlock certain disability features in my phone. Now I can actually communicate with people much better. So I felt like, okay, look, I'm achieving what it is that I'm trying. I'm helping people utilize the tech to the best of their ability so that they can live better lives. With I Love Qatar, my whole purpose is about updating people so that they have all the information that they need so that they can enjoy their time while they're here in the country, whether it's knowing what activities are going on or explaining what people's rights are in the country, because some people, they just don't understand, so that they can live happily. Store 974, the way that I, although I'm supporting the gaming community, and you can imagine, you know, gamers are already having a lot of fun. My question was, how can I make sure that I make PC gaming affordable? That was one element. But then how do I also make sure that I tie in the community aspect into all of this? And so I built a section called the Build Bar, where it was beautiful because I would see parents and their kids sit together, collect components, and then build the computer together. And that's the computer that would sit on their desk. And they will always remember that moment that I built this with my dad or my mom or whoever it was. And so because I know that that's what I want to achieve, I make sure that I incorporate it in all of my businesses. And I think, I hope that's why they're all successful. So far, you know, out of all of my different investments, there's only been two that I've had issues with. One of them was just simply, maybe because I didn't apply, you know, my why, you know, into it. It was still a beautiful project, so amazing. I really wish, you know, that it could succeed, but we just didn't find the right people to help us grow. And then the second one was actually an events company, which is now coming back. It's called The Social Studio. We brought the comedy festival, you know, to Qatar. We brought, you know, lots of musicians. And again, I just loved seeing people smiling and having fun. And the reason why it sadly, you know, ended up going under was because of COVID. So COVID helped Store 974 because people were staying at home and they wanted something to do. People were always checking online. So I Love Qatar stayed alive. But when it came to events, you can't go out. So, you know, we kept the business. But until the very end, the first thing that I did with my team is I said to them, listen, guys, I don't want you to worry about your salary. We will keep it going as long as we can. And we ended up staying, you know, for around a year and 4 months before eventually we tapped the company dry and there was nothing left in the accounts. But I didn't feel like it was a loss, you know? I didn't feel like, oh, I lost all my profits. It was an amazing journey, you know? And as long as I kept the light on for the team, you know, that would help us get there, it was all worth. So yeah, I apply my why in everything that I do. I feel like anybody should have multiple whys or multiple reasons for doing what they're doing, no matter what the business is. And the reason why I say that, it's hard to keep up. You know, like imagine walking into, I've got five businesses. Imagine every time I walk into a door, trying to remember what my why is here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to get jumbled up. And again, that's just me. To anybody who's listening, you know, my way isn't the right way. It's my way. And your way might be even better.
That's brilliant and kind of makes sense, right? So if I found a purpose, a why that's big enough to kind of like transcend through my entire life, then that could be my true North Star. and I will never get into conflict, having one that guides me in one way that I follow, kind of like one inspiration that I try, you know, to put out there, then to me, that makes absolute sense to have one and then follow that with everything that I do.
Absolutely. What's the podcast's why? What's the podcast purpose?
Well, the podcast purpose is, you know, to spread the word. And you've known Michael for a long time, and we've worked with so many companies on purpose, vision, values, and strategies. And, you know, we've heard so many times from the people we've touched with directly how impactful it's been. We've heard from so many people how much they've taken away, how they've transformed their businesses or their people or the way they engage with one another. And all of that, of course, you know, transforms our lives in one way or another. And at some point we thought, you know what, this is too good to keep it a secret, because even though we did touch quite a lot of companies and quite a lot of people with this work, we still found it wasn't common knowledge out there. And individual tools were out there, but not quite the combination that we've created here. You know, we always say like purpose, vision, values, and strategies are like four notes. Individually played, each note can be kind of boring by itself. But once you play them together, all of a sudden you've got music, you've got things that move. So we wanted, our why was to spread the word and to give as many people access to this as we could, and to make sure everybody who needed it knew where to find it.
100%, 100%, because you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
You're helping them
exactly.
figure it out. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Khalifa, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. And if it was for me, I would love to listen to your stories for another couple of hours or so. So thank you so much for sharing your energy with us, for sharing your experiences with us. If anybody, you know, is out there in Qatar listening to us or somewhere else around the world, really, it doesn't matter, and says, hey, I want to know more about this guy, I want to find out more about what he does or start working for him, be in his team, what's the best way for them to find you?
So I'm on almost every single social platform. So you can find me as I Love Qatar on Instagram or Twitter, where I'm most active. And I respond to everybody, you know, that sends me a message, as long as I'm awake. And that would be the easiest way. And of course, if you are planning on visiting Qatar, I do recommend that you check out ilovequatar.net, because that's where you find Qatar's friendliest community.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hold bye.
That's it for today with Vier Klang Strategy Coaching in our Chief of Anything podcast. If you would like to discover the impact of Vier Klang Strategy Coaching for your company, then simply click on the link in the description and get in touch with us.